a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Earlier today, the Senate passed the bill repealing the military authorization for the Iraq and Gulf Wars, the AUMF. The bill passed with bipartisan support on a vote of 66 to 30. But this bill doesn't just formally end those wars overseas. It's also a significant step forward for a Congress seeking to reclaim or claw back some of the constitutional war powers. The question is, what is happening and what comes next? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again.
As we dig into this just a little bit, Nan Swift researches, writes, and builds relationships across party lines to promote Our Streets governance program with Congress. And Nan, thanks for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here. We don't often have good news.
Yeah, we're so glad we have some good news. And give us, for our listeners, just kind of give a little bit of the lay of the land in terms of what was actually done today. And why is that good news?
Sure. Well, today is the culmination of a lot of work that people on both sides of the aisle, on different sides of, you know, perspectives on how we use force and our role around the world, but of everyone working together over a number of years to say, you know, these decisions about going to war are something that Congress should be doing, and we shouldn't have these dated authorities on the books that administrations could misuse. So this is a great thing that the Senate has finally done. Unfortunately, we've been here before with one house or the other taking some good steps. But of course, we've got to get all the way to the president's desk.
That's right. So this is step one. We'll come back to the House in just a second. I want to get it just from a perspective for a second in terms of what this really means. You mentioned the fact that a president of either political party could misuse this authorization of military force. Give us some kind of a historic perspective in terms of what this is and why this really does need to be sitting squarely in Congress.
Yeah, well, the Constitution is very plain that Congress is the only part of our government that can officially declare war. So when Congress does that, well, when the president lets Congress do that these days, we should say, and doesn't just take action on his own, when Congress does that, they pass something called an authorization for the use of military force. And in the case of Iraq, these authorizations have been on the books since the 90s, since the first Gulf War, and then again another one was passed in 2002. So we just passed the 20th anniversary of this AUMF and the 20th anniversary of the beginning of the war in Iraq, the second one. So repealing these is really important. It's time to say, you know, I'm not going to hold on to the option to, you know, invade without making a lot of big decisions, without discussing this, without debate, without Congress weighing in. And it's important for Congress to reclaim those powers and say we're the only ones that can give you this power. And it's pretty awesome power, and there's a reason why we've vested it with the people who represent the people.
Yeah, and that's such a vital component to all of this. There have been so many areas, including this, where Congress has abdicated its power and authority to the executive branch. And of course, the executive branch, regardless of party, are all too happy to take that. And so we end up with a lot of executive orders, or we have something like Congress, you know, passing the sweeping We Shall Have Clean Air bill, and we hereby bequeath mm-hmm. the executive branch the ability to decide what that is and how to do it and what the penalties are. And then there's no accountability to the people who do, as you said, right. represent the people.
Well, and not only have we given a lot of authority to the president, in so many cases, Congress has just put spending on autopilot. So there's no one really, you know, checking those things. Anytime something says mandatory spending, that means Congress isn't going to pay attention anymore.
Mm. Yeah, that's such a good point. And so let's look at this moving forward. So we cleared the Senate hurdle. Today, what is the outlook looking like as it makes its way across the Capitol to the other side of the building and becomes a part of the House conversation?
Well, I think it would be smart for the House to take this up. McCarthy said last week that he was willing to let this go through committee to be discussed and debated, but the House has been there before. This issue has been standing out there for a long time. And, you know, I think those conversations have happened. So I would hope that this could proceed straight to the floor. Unlikely, but that would be nice. And the House has said that they will take it up. I think McCarthy would be smart to let that happen because a lot of the folks that gave him a lot of trouble when he was trying to become Speaker are the ones that support this legislation. So it would be smart politically as well as the right thing to do from a constitutional perspective. But either way, whether the House takes it up right away or we take some time in committee, there's also the chance to get it on some must-pass legislation, you know, those big bills that we have to do every year, such as the National Defense Authorization Act. Both chambers over the years have expressed strong support doing this. The president has now said that he would be happy to sign this, that he doesn't need those authorizations to promulgate the still ongoing war on terror. And so it would be smart for this to scooch along or at least sneak a ride on something no one can stop.
Yeah, and that's so vital that we do get that clawed back again. So there's some accountability in terms of those conversations and those decisions. Again, if the members of Congress just give that broad brush and abdicate their authority to the executive branch, then when constituents come to them and say, "Hey, you know what's going on with this, or why are we in this situation or that?" They can shrug their shoulders and say, "Hey, you know what? You'll have to go talk to somebody in the executive branch. They're responsible." It also creates a lot more politics in terms of, especially our foreign entanglements and interactions, because then you sort of have this divided line in terms of who's really in charge. And if it's not a president of your party in the White House, then you can kind of flip your talking points in terms of any kind of conflict or any kind of challenges going on around the world.
Right. It certainly does make things more complicated. One important point that both Senators Todd Young and Tim Kaine, who are the sponsors of this effort in the Senate, made is that Iraq is now a friend of ours. And so we shouldn't have something on the books that says, "We could attack you, just FYI." That doesn't send a very friendly message. That doesn't make us good neighbors.
Yeah, so important. Nan Swift from R Street Governance Program. And Nan, always appreciate your perspective. And nice to have you on a Good News Day. And hopefully we'll see this move through the House and, again, have Congress claw some of those powers back. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Nan Swift from the R Street Institute, the R Street's governance program with Congress. And again, this is one of those, I know not a lot of you were thinking about that today in terms of the Iraq and Gulf Wars, but again, these things were still on the books. And this is what happened when Congress abdicates power to the executive branch. The executive branch is not going to say no. They're going to take it. And it gives them a lot of breadth to do what they want. It gives them flexibility in terms of making decision. And it circumvents what the Constitution says when it comes especially to something like a declaration of war. And so I think this is a good thing. It's a good step in terms of how that moves through. Hopefully it will be taken up in committee in the House and then get to the House floor quickly and done and over to the president's desk. It's a bipartisan piece. I think we can get it done. It should get done. One, so that Congress can do its job. That's Congress's job. And two, so they can be held accountable for the job that they do.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.